In 1959, the Price family arrives in the Belgian Congo like unwitting characters in a Greek tragedy, destined for a fall they cannot yet imagine. Reverend Nathan Price, stern, unyielding, and haunted by wartime guilt, leads his wife Orleana and four daughters into the remote village of Kilanga with missionary zeal and cultural blindness. The girls form a kaleidoscope of American perspectives. 15-year-old Rachel clings desperately to her beauty products and American identity. Twins Leah and Ada, one devoted to her father, the other silently brilliant and partially paralyzed, process their new reality through dramatically different lenses. And 5-year-old Ruth May approaches village life with innocent curiosity that bridges cultural divides. Their arrival is a study in absurdity, stepping off a small missionary plane wearing multiple layers of clothing to circumvent baggage restrictions, carrying Betty Crocker cake mixes that will never rise in the humid air, and garden seeds unsuited to tropical soil. The villagers gather to observe these strange white apparitions with barely concealed amusement. Nathan's first sermon, delivered during the welcome feast, reveals the depths of his misunderstanding as he lectures about nakedness and sin to a bewildered audience who have welcomed him with genuine hospitality. Language becomes the first battlefield where cultural collision turns deadly. Nathan's repeated proclamation that Jesus is Bengala, intended to convey Jesus' preciousness, horrifies villagers who hear Jesus is poison wood, invoking the feared tree whose toxic sap causes excruciating skin reactions. This linguistic error becomes the perfect metaphor for the entire missionary enterprise, well-intentioned on the surface, but fundamentally harmful in execution. The family gradually discovers that Kikongo operates through subtle tonal variations that completely transform meaning. The word Nzolo simultaneously encompasses dearly beloved, yellow fishing grub, and tiny potato, a conceptual fluidity incomprehensible in English, but reflecting a worldview where interconnections hold greater significance than rigid distinctions. As political tensions escalate with Congo's impending independence, the village schoolteacher Anatole emerges as an essential interpreter and cultural mediator. Through him, the family learns of their precarious position in the village's social hierarchy. Chief Tatindu views Nathan's congregation merely as the Lenzuka, the unfortunate ones abandoned by their traditional gods, while the powerful spiritual authority, Tata Kuvadundu, perceives the Price family as an existential threat to ancestral traditions. Nathan's demonstration garden becomes the perfect symbol of Western arrogance. Despite explicit warnings from their knowledgeable housekeeper about local agricultural methods, he insists on planting American vegetables in flat beds, rejecting the traditional raised mounds designed to protect crops during the rainy season. When the first heavy rains wash away his entire garden, he refuses to acknowledge his error, doubling down on his approach with increasingly desperate results. Meanwhile, his religious certainty creates even more dangerous conflicts. His determination to baptize villagers in the Kwilu River horrifies the community, who know the waters harbor aggressive crocodiles that recently claimed a child's life. When their experienced helper attempts to explain these legitimate concerns, Nathan dismisses her warnings as primitive superstition, his arrogance driving away this crucial cultural bridge. Each daughter adapts differently to their new reality. Leah develops deep friendships with village children and throws herself into learning Kikongo. Ruth May organizes games that bridge cultural divides. Ada silently observes funeral rites and wildlife with mathematical precision. Rachel focuses on escape, desperately maintaining her appearance despite harsh realities. These individual adaptations highlight the varying ways family members navigate their cultural displacement, from embrace to resistance, observation to denial. As Congo's independence approaches in June 1960, the Baptist Mission League sends an evacuation plane, a lifeline Nathan rejects, comparing himself to biblical prophets facing persecution. His refusal stems from stubborn pride and conviction that God ordained his presence during this historic transition. Orlana watches helplessly as her husband's zealotry endangers their children. Ruth May contracts severe malaria, but influenced by her father's teachings about suffering as purification, secretly sabotages her treatment by hiding quinine tablets, a small rebellion reflecting larger patterns of destruction around them. The political upheaval unfolds with the Prices as unwitting pawns. Prime Minister Lumumba's brief democratic leadership alarms Western powers, leading to CIA-orchestrated overthrow. During her silent wanderings, Ada overhears mercenary Eben Axelrod discussing the CIA's assassination plot, including details about poison toothpaste meant for Lumumba. In Kilanga, Nathan's religious crusade culminates when he stages an election to establish Jesus Christ as the village's deity. His misunderstanding of local spiritual traditions becomes apparent when he treats the vote like American democracy, failing to grasp villagers' complex relationship with ancestral beliefs. The resulting 56-11 defeat triggers a violent outburst, destroying his remaining credibility. The mounting crisis reaches its tragic climax through calculated revenge. The village witch doctor, seeing his influence eroded by the Price women's growing autonomy, plants a deadly green mamba snake among their chickens. In a moment that forever shatters the family, the snake strikes Ruth May, her death becoming the final price paid for Nathan's cultural blindness. In the aftermath, Orleana moves through grief with terrifying precision, methodically distributing every possession to villagers in a ritual that feels like both penance and preparation. During a torrential rainstorm, she leads her three remaining daughters away from Kilanga, leaving Nathan alone with his unshakable conviction and increasingly empty church. The next three decades see the Price women carve radically different paths. Orleana retreats to Georgia, walking beaches in silent conversations with Ruth May's spirit, while becoming involved in civil rights activism. Rachel leverages her beauty through strategic marriages to wealthy white men, eventually owning a luxury hotel catering to diamond merchants. Ada undergoes remarkable transformation when doctors discover her supposed brain damage was treatable, channeling her brilliant mind into studying viral diseases at the CDC. And Leah embraces life in Africa despite enormous costs, marrying Anatole and raising four sons while working on sustainable agriculture projects. Nathan's dark epilogue unfolds as he pushes deeper into the jungle, establishing makeshift churches and taking young African wives who eventually flee. His end comes with brutal symbolism. Villagers, believing him a demon who transforms into a crocodile, trap him in a watchtower and set it ablaze. He jumps only after flames catch him, fulfilling the biblical punishment he once used to frighten his daughters. Decades later, the surviving Price sisters reunite. Though geographically and ideologically separated, they remain bound by their shared Congo experience, a tapestry of trauma, guilt, and transformation that shaped their adult lives. In the final perspective shift, Ruth May's spirit watches her mother and sisters searching for her grave. Through her ethereal observations, we witness Orleana's pilgrimage of grief and quest for absolution. Ruth May's cosmic forgiveness offers not just personal redemption, but speaks to larger questions of historical reconciliation. What remains is understanding that we cannot impose our will on a world that refuses our expectations. As Rachel notes, you can't sashay into the jungle aiming to change it without the jungle changing you right back. The Congo transformed the Price family far more than they changed it, a lesson about the dangers of certainty and the necessity of cultural humility.